Welcome, welcome back, welcome home. This is Deanna, and we want to thank you for being a part of the Life Together podcast. Before we get into this week's teaching with Pastor Tom, we want you to know that you matter to God and you matter to us. Life Together is a Wednesday evening gathering for worship, Bible study, and community at Oak Creek Assembly of God here in Oak Creek, Wisconsin. We pray that this week's message is life-giving, encouraging, challenging, and possibly even life-changing.
Jealousy, envy, bitterness, and frustration. Jealousy, envy, bitterness, and frustration. Let's start with the working definition for each of these words. And for these words, there are perhaps multiple definitions, but for the purpose of tonight's conversation, let's use these definitions. Jealousy. Jealousy is the fear that someone will take something from you or take someone from you. Jealousy is the fear that someone else will take something or someone away from you. That's jealousy. Envy is the desire to have something that someone else has. Envy is the desire to have something that someone else has. And maybe even a step further, you want what they have, and you also don't want them to have it anymore. Bitterness is the anger that results when a situation did not go your way or when you feel like you were treated unfairly. Bitterness builds up inside of us or has the potential to build up inside of us when we feel anger linked to a situation not going our way or we feel like we were mistreated or the outcome was not the outcome that we desired. So, jealousy, envy, bitterness, and frustration. Frustration, our working definition for tonight, is an annoyance when you want something to change or you think something should change, but it won't change. Frustration is annoyance when you believe it is in the best interest for something or someone to change, but because of whatever reason, it will not change, so you become frustrated. Now, I'm guessing that very few, maybe none of us woke up this morning and said, you know what? I really hope that I get to experience jealousy today. No one, I'm guessing, woke up or started their day and saying, you know what? I really feel like there's been a lack of envy in my life lately, and I've got to do something about that. I'm really just desiring that bitterness would drive my week. We could all agree that none of us desire these emotions in our life. Yet a lot of us, many of us, most of us, possibly even all of us would say that as we come in here tonight, we're wrestling with one, two, three, or four. Envy, jealousy, bitterness, or frustration. And very rarely do we state it out loud when we're feeling these things. Very rarely would we state out loud when we're feeling envy, like your friend takes you to their garage, their huge garage, and they open up the garage and they've got a brand new huge boat in there. And inside you're feeling envy and you just look at the boat like, it's a cool boat, man. But if you were honest, what you would say is, I'm feeling anger right now because this boat, I'm doing the math in my head and I think that it costs more than I'm going to earn in 3 years. And I wish I had this boat, and I wish you did not have this boat. You and I, what we can do is we can cover up jealousy, envy, bitterness, and frustration in ourselves. We cover it up. We cover it up with our words. We don't say it out loud. And we may even convince ourselves that if we cover it up, it will just go away. That eventually over time we'll stop feeling the jealousy, we'll stop feeling the envy, that time will heal the wound of bitterness or frustration. But many of us could say from experience that it doesn't go away through cover-up. It doesn't go away through concealing. In fact, the exact opposite happens. The longer we cover it up, the longer we conceal it, the worse that it gets. The worse that it gets. So the good news, we're going to see in God's word tonight that there is a cure. There is a cure for jealousy, for bitterness, for envy, and for, which one did I miss? Frustration. And I'm going to give you the cure right now, and then we're going to show you where it is in the Bible. So here it is, the cure for jealousy, envy, bitterness, and frustration. Truth and honesty. Truth and honesty are the cure for jealousy, envy, bitterness, and frustration. So once again, there's two words there, truth and honesty. And they are similar, but they're not exactly the same. So truth, the working definition I want us to think about tonight, is truth is a statement of facts, a reality, a presentation of the reality of the situation. And then honesty is, it's actually a skill. Honesty is a skill that may not come naturally to you. It doesn't come naturally to a lot of us. Honesty is the ability to speak sincerely and to speak truthfully and to speak without covering up. To be honest is to communicate in a way that is free of deceit. To live this out, this thought of truth and honesty being the cure for jealousy, envy, bitterness, and frustration, to live this out, we want to talk to people in our lives with honesty about the facts of the situation, and we want to be honest with what we feel. And so the immediate question is, what would really happen if we really were honest with that person that we feel bitter towards? What would happen if we told the truth to that person that we're angry towards? And actually, as we're even having this conversation, there may be some of you in here, and you're struggling to even admit that you feel jealousy towards another person. That's even the first step, right? To acknowledge that emotion, to acknowledge that what I'm feeling about a person is I'm feeling actually bitter towards them. I'm actually very frustrated with this person. And when we say that the cure is truth and honesty, there may be this immediate pushback. You may feel like if you were honest in whatever situation you're dealing with, it actually would make things worse. And you feel like if you spoke the truth, if you spoke what's really on your heart, that it would not make things better, that it would make things worse. And you've convinced yourself that there is a peace, so it's better just not to say anything. But is there really a peace? There may be peace on the outside. You may be putting on the good face, saying kind words to cover up what you're feeling. We may do this. But in the inside, you are increasingly filled with envy, jealousy, bitterness, and or frustration. So is that really peace? If there's some sort of amicable relationship on the outside, but there's torment on the inside, that's not peace. Peace on the outside, but torment on the inside, you're torn up, that's not peace. So my goal for you and my goal for me in our lives is that you and I, that we would create a culture of truth and honesty around our lives. That you and I, that each of us, that we would create a culture of truth and honesty, our own personal culture of truth and honesty. And this simply means that people feel like they can be completely and honest and truthful with you, and that you in exchange can be completely truthful and honest with them. In your relationships, that there is no wall of cover-up, there's no wall of deceit. This is one of those things that's, man, it's much easier to say than it is to actually live out. We're going to look at a few verses tonight from Proverbs. If you brought your Bible with you tonight, or if you've got it on your phone in app form, we're going to be in Proverbs 26, and we're going to start in verse 23 in just a second. If you have the ability to choose what version, I'm going to read out of the NLT tonight. And for those of you who have been following along with us each and every week this year, our teachings have come out of the one-year Bible plan at oneyearbibleonline.com. So if you are following along in that plan with us, and you can start any week, you will have read these verses over the last few days. So before we read the Proverbs today, just a short setup here. A proverb is a short sentence of wisdom. And reading Proverbs can be, I'll use this word tonight, a little frustrating because there are these short blasts. It's like one sentence about this topic, and it often feels like then it goes in a complete different direction. And there are times, if you're like me when you're reading Proverbs, that you maybe desire that the thought would be fleshed out a little bit more, but it's like one sentence and we're on to something else. These are statements with a lot of punch, but with not a lot of context. And who do we credit with authoring most or all of the Proverbs? Solomon. Solomon was a king. He is the son of David, and he had this amazing, amazing gift from God where he was able to ask God for anything, and it would be granted to him. And of all the things that Solomon could have asked for, he asks for wisdom. God gives him wisdom. So Solomon is famous for being a man of great wisdom. So let's jump in. Proverbs chapter 26, verses 23 through 25. And look for the recurring theme through these sentences. Smooth words may hide a wicked heart, just as a pretty glaze covers a clay pot. People may cover their hatred with pleasant words, but they are deceiving you. They pretend to be kind, but don't believe them. Their hearts are full of many evils. So the recurring theme through these three sentences, these three verses, is that what is coming out of the mouth is not what's really going on inside. It's a deception. There is wickedness in the heart, but it's covered up by the words that come out of our mouths. An attractive surface hides the ugliness underneath. There's the line in there, just as a pretty glaze covers a clay pot. And some of your translations may say something like, just as a silver glaze or a silver dross covers a clay pot. And what the author is referring to there is that there is a way to finish clay, to make it appear from the distance, from a distance, that it's not clay, but it's actually silver. Maybe you have something in your house that it's painted gold or it's painted silver or it looks platinum from a distance, but it's actually clay or it's actually plastic or it's actually wood. And from a distance, it may look like gold, it may look like silver, it may look like platinum, but if you get right up close to it, it's very obvious that it's not really the case. And so this author, he says, smooth words may hide a wicked heart just as a pretty glaze covers a clay pot. Verse 26. While their hatred may be concealed by trickery, their wrongdoing will be exposed in public. While their hatred may be concealed by trickery, their wrongdoing will be exposed in public. See, you and I, we know that the natural course of a physical disease is that the disease is most likely to get worse unless it is treated, like medically treated, or there is supernatural intervention, or both. If we just let something go, it probably, in many cases, will not just remedy itself. Let me give you an example. Strep throat. If you don't treat strep throat, or if there's not supernatural intervention, what happens to strep throat? It becomes what? Scarlet fever. Some of you just learned something new tonight, and it's made the whole night worthwhile. So strep throat starts as this really awful, itchy pain in the back of your throat, a redness like through this area. It feels like swelling, difficult to talk. There's dryness, and it's this constant pain, but just in this area. But if you don't treat strep throat, it becomes scarlet fever, which is a rash, a red sandpaper-like rash that covers your entire body. So if the strep throat was an indication enough that it's time to go see the doctor, or then you have scarlet fever, well, now maybe it's a good idea to go see the doctor. If you still let it go untreated, scarlet fever can wreak havoc on your heart and on your kidneys. So the point is, we already know that physical disease, unless it's treated or unless there's supernatural intervention or both, if a physical disease is untreated, it will get worse over time. Well, tonight we're talking about what? We're talking about jealousy, envy, bitterness, and frustration. And so the same thing is true, that untreated or unchecked, envy, jealousy, bitterness, and frustration will get worse over time. And actually, just as strep throat eventually becomes scarlet fever, those things, jealousy, envy, bitterness, and frustration, eventually turn into a hatred. A hatred. And we start having these feelings of hate towards someone that we may even say out loud, I love you to, or I care about you, yet on the inside we're feeling hate. And this proverb here says, while their hatred may be concealed by trickery, their wrongdoing will be exposed in public. See, you and I, if we have a hate in our heart, we can only cover it up for so long. And the way that it's going to be exposed in public, it may not be on the front page of a newspaper, if anyone reads a newspaper anymore. But it may not be exposed like in a news headline, but it's going to be exposed, and there's a few different ways that it can happen. It could be that this hatred reaches a boiling point, and you've covered up and covered up and covered up for so long, and then all of a sudden it just explodes. Or it could be that you start telling someone else about your hatred towards this person, you start telling someone else about your jealousy, your frustration, your envy, your bitterness about this person, and you start sharing it with this person and this person, and then eventually it gets back to the person who you feel that toward. And now it's public. Or it could be that those around you just begin to pick it up from you. That they can tell that you are carrying something inside of you. They know that something is not right. They can sense a heaviness in your spirit. And it starts spilling over into other areas of life, the way that you're interacting with people, this hatred that's in your heart. Skip down to verse 28. A lying tongue hates its victims, and flattering words cause ruin. Do you know what flattery means? What flattery means? So it is a compliment, yes, but it's more than a compliment. It's a compliment with the motive of advancing your own interest. I'm going to say something nice to you because I actually want something. And this proverb here says that if all we're doing is saying flattering words with a motive of our own advancement, it's actually going to end up ruining us. So a couple questions to wrestle with right now. Are you honest and truthful with others? And do they feel like they can be honest and truthful with you? Have you cultivated a culture of honesty and truthfulness? And the second question is this: do you intentionally sugarcoat your words when you feel hurt or to avoid hurting someone else? Do you intentionally sugarcoat your words? Jesus had something to say about this when there's a tension between two people. When two people have this difficulty between them, it may be a jealousy, it could be a envy, a bitterness, a frustration with somebody. Look at Matthew chapter 5. Skip ahead. Matthew chapter 5, verses 23 and 24. These are the words of Jesus, and he says this. See if you can connect the dot between the two themes here tonight. So if you are presenting a sacrifice at the altar in the temple, and you suddenly remember that someone has something against you, leave your sacrifice there at the altar. Go and be, this is a key word, reconciled to that person, go and be reconciled to that person, then come and offer your sacrifice to God. God says if you are coming to a place of worship, but you have a tension between you and someone else, and Jesus says, he makes it sound like it's their fault. It may be their fault, but let's say it's your fault, or maybe it's at least 5% your fault. It's 95% their fault, but 5% your fault. We usually don't like to claim our 5%, right? Anyway, so there's a tension between you and somebody else, and it's rooted in this envy, jealousy, bitterness, and frustration. Jesus says, you are not going to be able to experience a full worship with me. You're not going to be able to experience the deep connection with your Heavenly Father that you should experience as long as that is going on in your life. So if you are having a tension in relationship, your relationship with them is hurt, that other person, and Jesus says it's actually hurt with God. That if you're carrying a weight with you against another person or with another person, that it's going to hinder your relationship with your Heavenly Father. So Jesus says, go and do what? Go and reconcile. Go and reconcile. I kind of feel like tonight is the night of definitions. What does reconcile mean? Reconcile simply means to restore relationship. Jesus says, before you come here to worship, a priority needs to be for you to go and restore the relationship. And we already know this. We already know this about relationships in our life. If we have this tension, we already know, we wouldn't think, you know what really is going to help the situation? More cover-up, more deceit, more lying. That's going to help us get better. We all know that honesty and truthfulness is going to be a step towards healing. And perhaps you've experienced this in a relationship in your life where there's been a tension and it grows and it grows, and you know that there has to be a tough conversation. And maybe you've had this tough conversation, and in the moment it was painful, in the moment it was difficult, in the moment it hurt. But I believe that there are many of us in this room who would say that after we had those conversations, the relationship is better than it's ever been. Once it was all out in the open. And here Jesus says, whatever you're concealing, whatever you're covering up, it needs to be brought out in the open. Jesus says, here's what I need you to do. I need you to go and reconcile. I need you to go and restore relationship. I need you to go and be honest, and I need you to tell the truth. We said in the beginning, truth and honesty are the cure for jealousy, envy, bitterness, and frustration. You know, our Heavenly Father is all about reconciliation. God is all about restored relationship. Let me just throw out a few of these character qualities. These are actually words from the Proverbs that we read tonight. Wickedness, hatred, evil. Does that sound like God? Who does that sound like? That sounds like the enemy. That sounds like Satan. Wickedness, hatred, and evil, these are qualities of the enemy. The enemy is one who has to lie. He is one who came to lie and kill and destroy. The enemy has to cover up. He has to deceive. He has to pretend. He has to conceal. He has to hide. Because if the enemy were to reveal what his true motives were, he wouldn't get anyone. So God, he loved you so much. God loved you so much that he sent his one and only son, Jesus Christ, to this earth for the purpose of reconciliation. God sent his son, Jesus Christ, for the purpose of restoring your relationship with your Heavenly Father. The Apostle Paul, in his letter to Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5, says this, there is one God and one mediator who can reconcile God and humanity, the man Jesus Christ. And tonight, if you're here tonight and you would say that you do not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, there's no better time to make that decision than right now. And it simply means that right where you are, in your own words, saying, Father in heaven, I come to you in the name of Jesus Christ. I realize that my sin, my rebellion has hurt my relationship with you, and it's hurt my relationship with others. Today, I receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I receive, Father, your free gift of restoration, of reconciliation, and I want to give the rest of my life trying to be more like Jesus Christ tomorrow than I am today. And if you would like to give your life to Jesus Christ tonight, I encourage you to do that. And I encourage you, when we break for discussion in just a minute or two, to share that with someone at your table. That's my daughter, by the way, back there. Hi, Elsa. It's her first time hearing Daddy preach. She's like the only one in here tonight saying amen. Thanks. Thanks, baby girl. So if you want to give your life tonight to Jesus Christ, it's a great night. And I encourage you to share that with someone at your table. If you feel more comfortable coming up and sharing that with me, I would be honored to pray with you for that decision. So here's the takeaway for all of us. What will it take in your own life to create a culture of honesty? What will it take in your own life to grow the culture of honesty around you? And what I mean by that is, once again, two things. One, growth in your own ability, your own skill of honesty and truthfulness. And secondly, creating an environment where people feel like they can come to you and they don't need to cover up. People feel like they can come to you and they don't have to put the walls around their conversation. They don't have to put the padding up around what they're going to say to you. They feel like they can share honestly and truthfully what is on their heart and what's in their mind. And I believe that as we grow in these areas, that we are going to experience stronger relationships. And some of you in this room, there may have been a point in your life where you made this intentional decision that you were just going to put it out there, regardless of what happens. And you would say that, yes, as you have done that over the years, there have been times where it has been painful. There's been times when there have been difficult conversations. But you would say that as a result of being truthful, as a result of being honest, as a result of fleeing from deceit and cover-up, that you have deeper relationships than you had before you intentionally made that decision. And I'm also guessing that here in this room tonight, there are people who are praying that they would even have an opportunity to have the honest conversation. And you might be feeling that there is a relationship in your life where the envy and the jealousy and the bitterness and or frustration got so bad that you haven't talked to someone in a long time and you are dying to have that conversation with them. And you are praying for that open door. And I'm going to pray that open door happens for you. So you will have an opportunity to lay it out there. And then allow the relationship to move forward at a new and deeper level. Let me give you an opportunity to share with each other around your table. And here's a discussion point for you. Describe a relationship you've been a part of that's benefited from unfiltered honesty. I hope that tonight you have at least one friend, at least one family member, a parent or coworker, where you feel like you can be just absolutely honest and truthful with them. There's no padding around the conversation. And so I want to give you an opportunity to share about that conversation. I believe that through these conversations, there's going to be encouragement for all of us. So describe a relationship you've been a part of that's benefited from unfiltered honesty. Let me pray for you. Father in heaven, we come to you tonight in the name of Jesus Christ, the powerful name of Jesus. Father, as we study tonight reconciliation and restoration, we are here to say thank you. Thank you, Father, for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, to be our Restorer. Thank you for sending Jesus to reconcile us to you. Father, I pray tonight for the one who is making the decision to choose Jesus as the path of restoration. Father, help them in boldness to make that decision, to speak it out loud to someone here tonight, so that they can begin that faith journey of growing closer to you each and every day. Father, we are so thankful that Jesus gave us this model of reconciliation and restoration, and he placed such a high priority on it in our daily lives that he said, before you even come into a house of worship, prioritize going to people where there is tension and doing whatever you can to bring honesty and truth and integrity. Father, I believe that in this room tonight, there are people who, there are friends in this room and they're thinking of another friend. They're thinking of a family member. They're thinking of a coworker or a classmate or another parent. And they know that they need to have that conversation as difficult as it may be. Father, we pray that even though there may be a peace on the outside, we want peace on the inside. And Father, we know that that comes from being truthful and honest about what's going on. Father, and our point, our purpose in telling the truth and being honest is for peace. And so, Father, I pray that in these relationships that are represented in this room, that they would move in the direction of peace, that they would move in the direction of restoration, and that there would be a great testimony, Father, of how you moved in those conversations, how you gave the right words to speak at the right time. And Father, I pray that we would be people of boldness that would not shy away for another a day, that we would not put off anymore the conversations that we know that we must have. And Father, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for the power of your word. We thank you for the blessing of time together. We ask for protection over each one as they travel home from this place tonight in this wintry weather. And Father, we thank you. We thank you that you're on the throne. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Thank you so much for being with us for the Life Together podcast this week. It's even better when we get to see you in person. Life is best lived in community. You're invited to join us on Wednesday evening here at Oak Creek Assembly of God. We are a church that exists to reach our world for Christ as we lead people just like you to discover and become who God created you to be. Find us online at oakcreekag.org/life.